Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
My personality was to blame.
What call is that?
I was not afraid to say what was on my mind.
Boomer Esiason.
Esiason, wide open is Brooks. Boomer just threw that football up like it was on a hanger.
Host of Boomer and Geo, mornings on WFAN.
Why don't you just announce it on WFAN?
1988 NFL MVP.
The Cincinnati Bengals AFC champion.
NFL All-Pro and four-time Pro Bowler.
Esiason, the talk of Cincinnati.
Our very own Monday afternoon quarterback.
And by the way, Andy Reid is the freaking man.
Boomer Esiason with Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
He joins us every Monday during football season on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. And I could not agree more. Andy Reid is the man. God, that was so awesome. Boomer Esiason with us now. What's up, Boom?
Hey, Danny. Great to talk to you. Yeah, I can't say enough about Andy as a coach, and always felt that way. And he's always been aggressive. It's just that yesterday he did it in the biggest spot, and obviously Tony Romo was telling all of us that he wasn't going to do it, and he didn't have Patrick Mahomes back there. He had Chad Henne back there. So anybody who's coached around Andy has been Matt Nagy, I would say, would know this. I would think Doug Peterson knows this. My buddy Frank Reich, who coached under Doug Peterson, coaches like that in Indianapolis. But that was brilliant, and you play to win, and when you have the ball on offense – instead of trying to run the clock out, how many times have we seen that go the other way? You try to win the game and you go for it. And that was just an absolutely tremendous fourth down call. But the play before that was even better by Chad Henne, because that was a broken play and he almost got the first down by himself.
And then, so I was in Kansas City when the Chiefs hired Andy Reid, and I loved being there and seeing the transformation and what he did with Alex Smith and all of it. But I got to say, like, and I'm a guy who loves to go forward and aggressive and believes in the analytics and all of it. I thought that the play before the Chad Henne scramble, where he took the sack on the front side of the 2-minute warning and he dropped back to pass, I think every other coach in the NFL runs the ball there to get to the 2-minute warning. Like, a sack was way better than an incompletion. I was just shocked at how aggressive he was on that whole sequence with Chad Henne, not just the fourth down.
That's a really good point, Danny, because nobody's talking about that at all. And I'm sitting there next to Bill Cowher. Bill Cowher is like, oh, I wish Andy would learn to run the ball sometimes.
You know,
and Bill and Andy, you know, text a lot with each other. And sometimes Andy will have a game where he runs the ball 45 times and essentially takes it out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, which doesn't happen very often, by the way. And Bill will text him and say something like, yeah, you feeling okay, coach? Because Andy's always been aggressive. He was aggressive with Donovan McNabb. He was aggressive with Alex Smith. And, you know, what shocked all of us yesterday, honestly, it was Chad Henne in there. And, you know, we haven't seen nor heard from Chad Henne. And I thought Phil Simms made a really good point in the postgame show when he said that, you know, they rested all their guys, their main guys, in week 17, including Patrick Mahomes. So Chad Henne actually got to play a full game in week 17. And that's probably what helped him going into this game and doing what he did, even though he did throw a bad interception. But it's Andy Reid, man. It's Big Red, and everybody respects him. Everybody loves him. And, you know, he just showed his chops yesterday in the biggest moment.
So, obviously, Bears fans are watching that, and, like, there were 11 first downs in the first 20 plays, and it felt like it was a completely different sport. That, right? The Bears have had games this year where they've had 11 first downs total. And Matt Nagy, I've been critical of him for being too conservative. How much of that is tied, though, to just flat out the coach doesn't trust the quarterback? I know it's easy to trust Mahomes, but trust in Hattie, though, you know?
Yeah, but in a very small sample size, you know, much like Chase Daniels. You know, if you see him for a short period of time, he could be good. He can be a good insurance policy for a couple of weeks. And then I think I told you guys a couple of years ago, whether it was last year, you know, the more you see, the less you're going to like. It's the same thing with like Nick Foles. The more you see, the less you're going to like. If you have him in short bursts where he can come off the bench and ignite a team and do it without, you know, much fanfare, then he's going to be really good. You know, this is probably the same thing with Chad Henne, but also, you know, they have a really good team. You know, they're not just there because of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's a big reason for it, but they have great players. And Tyreek Hill. So what we used to call that play in our vernacular in the old West Coast offense would be sprint right, Z out. I used to run it to the left, sprint left, Z out. And I used to have Eddie Brown as my wide receiver in the big days in Cincinnati. And Eddie wasn't quite as fast as Tyreek, but he was just as quick. And people were afraid of his quickness. I think we were like, you know, almost like 95% completion on that particular play. It's like the oldest play in the book. And I know the Bears have run that play, just like the Bears ran that pitch back pass, Mitch Trubisky to Wims that he drops. You know, the Saints stole it. And then they ran it this week and scored a touchdown with Jameis Winston, you know, hitting his receiver in stride. So, I don't know. People run all the same plays, Danny, all throughout the league. And believe you me, you know, Matt Nagy's playbook is the same as Andy Reid's. It's just that the players aren't the same. And that's the biggest difference.
And, you know, there's clearly no Pat Mahomes here. But yeah. So you believe that there's a more aggressive version of Matt Nagy in there if he had a quarterback he trusted?
100%. And I know this from watching my buddy Frank this year. And I don't ask Frank about other teams and their quarterbacks and their situation. And I certainly don't ask him about, you know, the delicate questions that, you know, that I could discuss here with you guys. But I can tell when he got Phillip Rivers, he had Phillip Rivers before in San Diego when he was the offense coordinator out there. So he just felt more emboldened to call a full game plan and not worry about the quarterback tripping all over himself, you know, and not worrying about the quarterback, you know, just not being comfortable making plays in tough positions in games. So it's the biggest thing. I mean, look, you see Sean McVay and Jared Goff are going through it right now. Early on in the season, it was Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. But as I've been saying all year long, it wasn't about the season anyway for Brady and Arians. It was about getting to this point. And they've gotten to this point through the NFC Championship game. So the Tom Brady hiring and signing has taught the Tampa Bay Buccaneers how to win. So it's the most important relationship, I believe, on a team is the head coach and the quarterback. Even if the head coach is defensive in nature, you know, he still knows whether or not he can trust that guy behind center in the biggest moments in the games.
Boomer Esiason with us on The Score. I don't mean for this at all to come across as a criticism of Drew Brees, because it isn't. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best pure passers in the history of the game. But if it is over, do you think we will look back on this and be like, man, just one Super Bowl for the Sean Payton, Drew Brees tandem, kind of a disappointment?
It's not kind of a disappointment. It's a big disappointment, and they would be the first to tell you that. So, you know, us speaking about it is not out of school by any stretch of the imagination. His numbers stand for themselves. He'll go down as one of the great quarterbacks of all time. But really, if you're going to define greatness, you have to look at Super Bowl victories. And that's why everybody talks about, you know, Joe Montana and Tom Brady and Terry Bradshaw and Roger Staubach and Troy Aikman. Those guys are all winners, man, and multiple time winners. And, you know, some had to do more than others. Some had better coaches. Some had better teams. But at the end of the day, they're the one that is holding the trophy. And a number of them have MVP trophies to go along with it, not just Super Bowl MVPs, but also season MVPs. Same thing about Brett Favre. Same thing about Aaron Rodgers. I think about Aaron Rodgers. He only has one Super Bowl victory. And I'm like, God dang, that guy is such a great player. You feel like, you know, he should have been in the Super Bowl like six or seven times like Tom Brady has been already. But it just goes to show you how hard it really is to get there. I know I went once, we lost. I thought I was going to go back about four or five other times. And then next thing you know, you're 11, 12 years into your career and you're like, you can't even get back to the playoffs. So it's something to behold, and it's unfortunate that Drew had to go out this way, especially throwing the interceptions that he threw yesterday.
But so Aaron Rodgers is the perfect example, right? Aaron Rodgers is a better football player than Troy Aikman was. And like, but because Aikman was more of a winner, do we regard him in a higher esteem? Because I don't. I look at Rodgers as like the most talented guy I've ever seen play the position until Pat Mahomes came along.
Yeah, that's for fans to decide. I appreciate everything that goes into all these games. You know, I was having a little bit of an argument with my guys on the radio this morning that I actually shed a tear that Tom Brady came out on the field after the game was over. I was out there talking with Drew and his wife and his kids and threw a touchdown pass to Drew's kid in the corner. I'm like, that's pretty cool, man, that these two great all-time quarterbacks in the league got together and did what they did after the game. That actually made me feel pretty good. I actually shed a tear to that. My guys were just all over me. I can't believe it. I'm like, come on, guys. I know how difficult it is to play in this league, and I know the pain and anguish that even though they've gotten all the money, they got all the ad. You know, the accolades, they got everything they want in life. You know, when you lose a game like that, and then it goes on your record that you just lost a game and it's another playoff game, it's another home playoff game, it's 3 years or 4 years in a row now. I mean, that cut is really, really deep. So that had to be tough for Drew yesterday. I still hold him in very, very high esteem. They did some amazing things down there, he and Sean Payton, and I do believe this is it for him. I don't think the Saints can afford him. They can't bring him back just simply what it would cost to bring him back.
So maybe this is why, and Chicago's my hometown and I love it, but maybe this is why I'm in the right spot. What the hell would Giannotti and your guys in New York, this big, bad, mean city or whatever, how could they possibly hate on that moment, Boomer? It was beautiful.
They were hating on me.
Okay.
Liking that moment. You know, that's what they were doing. They weren't really hating on the moment so much. They were hating on me and the emotion that I had when I saw that moment. Like, so they were
crying
making fun
might be
of me,
a
I
little
guess.
Much. It might be a little
well,
much.
I said I had a tear. I said I shed a tear. I didn't say I was crying like Mark Messier cries.
Okay.
And when Mark
Single
Messier
tear.
Cries here in New York, we all cry with him. You know, that's how much of a leader and a great captain it is. By the way, happy birthday to Mark Messier today. There you go.
I miss your birthday shout-outs on those CBS Sports Minutes.
Happy birthday, Mike.
I actually gave him two shout-outs today. That's how important he is in my life.
Congratulations to Mark Messier. Happy birthday.
Well, listen, you have to understand, man. Like he came here, and we finally won a Stanley Cup. It was a 45-year drought, and we haven't been back there since. Well, we've been back there, but we lost to the Kings. But, you know, we haven't won since 94 now, so now we got to do it again sooner or later before I die.
Yeah, we all want one more before we die. But, yeah, I know it clearly means a lot to you. And two shout-outs in your Sports Minutes. That's a big deal, man. We listen to these things every damn day. I'm curious, like, what you make of this situation with the Texans. And not in just, like, the dysfunction and that it's being leaked publicly and anonymous. Like, that happens in sports in the NFL. I was thinking, would Deshaun Watson have an argument of being, in terms of where he is in his career, the best player in NFL history ever traded, if he actually is traded when he's 25 years old?
No, there's plenty of disgruntled guys that have been traded. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. comes to mind. Jamal Adams comes to mind. These are just a few of the ones that have just happened. Well, Carson Palmer. You know, Carson Palmer was a Bengal like I was, and he got traded to the Oakland Raiders when Hugh Jackson was running the show there, and then finally went to Arizona. But, you know, somebody's leaking it, and for me, it's got to be somebody in his life. It's not the team is not leaking stuff like this. He hasn't asked the team for a trade, by the way, and that's accurate up to the minute. But somebody is speaking for him, whether it be his agent, whether it be one of his teammates, somebody close to the agent, and they're saying how he doesn't trust the team. And you know, look, I would always say to a player, at the end of the day, if you want to be in the front office, then you're going to have to spend all offseason here, and you're going to have to go over all the tapes. You're going to have to go over, you know, all the decisions. You're going to have to, we're going to have to discuss trades with you and all this other stuff. When in actuality, players want to play and they want to enjoy their off seasons and they want to enjoy, you know, the spoil of victory, which is the salaries that they make. So I'm kind of disappointed that all this stuff is coming out for Deshaun. And quite frankly, the Houston Texans fans wanted to have a parade for him today on Martin Luther King Day of all days. And he had to come out and put a tweet out saying, I hear that there's going to be a march on my behalf in Houston on Martin Luther King Day. Please don't do that because of COVID-19 and everything. I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's getting out of hand. So I don't know if Nick Caserio is going to be backed into a corner. And if he is, the one important thing to remember for Chicago fans, for Jet fans, for Carolina Panther fans, is that Deshaun Watson has a no trade clause. So he can essentially say, I'm not going to any of these other teams, but if you want to trade me to Miami and Miami's interested, I'll go there. And that makes sense. And as long as Miami gives up Tua and probably a haul of draft picks, that may happen. So usually in the NFL, where there's smoke, there's fire. And if he wants to go to Miami, I guess in reality, he could force his way there. But right now, I don't think the Texans want to do anything but sit and wait and kind of give Deshaun a little bit of a minute to calm down and see who they hire as a head coach and whether or not that has a positive impact for him.
It would just – I couldn't imagine doing it. It would just be absolute insanity. 25 years old, you signed him to the – like it'd be like you hit the Mega Millions and then you gave away the ticket after 6 months. Like, why would they do that?
It would be crazy. It would be crazy. And, you know, I asked Mike Tannenbaum, the former Jets GM who did bring Brett Favre to the Jets in the middle of, you know, a crazy time here in New York. And Brett actually got the team off to an 8-3 start and then played with a bum shoulder and should have never been on the field the last five games. And they didn't make the playoffs. But, you know, the interesting thing, Mike Tannenbaum would have moved heaven and earth to make it happen. He would have given up everything to get Deshaun Watson here. There's no question in my mind. And he confirmed that for me today, by the way. But Joe Douglas doesn't seem to be that type of guy. And I don't, you know, Houston doesn't want to trade him because Houston knows how much the fans want Deshaun Watson in a Houston Texans uniform. So unless Watson comes out and says, I want to be traded and I want to leave, kind of like Harden did to the Houston Rockets, it's not going to happen because it would just be such negative blowback towards the Texans, unless, of course, Deshaun wants to leave.
What do you think our Super Bowl matchup is going to be?
Well, you know, I'm assuming Patrick Mahomes is playing. He got off to a great start. He was in the midst of a great game against Cleveland. I don't know if he really had a concussion. It looked like they're saying now it's a nerve issue or something. So if that's the case, they'll give him some treatment and he'll be back on the practice field and he'll be ready to go. So I think it's going to be Green Bay and Kansas City. That's CBS. That's Aaron Rodgers. That's Patrick Mahomes. And it doesn't get much better than that unless, of course, it's Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, and that would be awesome too. So Josh Allen's a great story. Buffalo is a great story. I just don't know if either one of these teams can go into these respective stadiums and beat these teams when they're full strength.
We got to get you in there. I know Romo's got all the fanfare, and I love Romo, but let's get you in that Super Bowl booth, Boom.
There wouldn't be enough room. There's not enough air, too much hot air in that booth between me, Jim, and Tony. Are you kidding me?
Tony,
all I know is I got a four-hour pregame show, I got a halftime and a postgame show.
I mean, that is impossible. I've never seen it.
Never seen it. The guy's sound effects are they're not distracting. They are endearing, but he never stops making noises.
Well, the one thing I will say about him, and I appreciate it, is the excitement. Like, yep. He was really, truly excited yesterday. So he's like the rest of us watching a game going, oh, my God. I mean, so he just happens to verbalize it. I think he captures the spirit of the people that watch the game. So I don't know. It's kind of fun, actually. We have a good chuckle at it sometimes because he is so into it, especially when it gets to this level and these games are close, which is, you know, probably natural for all of us to feel that way. Just that he basically lets it out there for all of us to hear it and see it.
But I can imagine that you and Phil and Cower and all those guys are poking him a little bit, laughing at him a little bit. Like, hey, settle down, youngster. I can imagine that conversation.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like maybe we've been around a little bit longer. But for him, you know, like yesterday, those moments don't come very often for broadcasters. You know, think about it.
Sure.
And think about what he was setting up and how he was saying it and what he was saying. Normally, he can predict the plays or has predicted the plays in the past. This one, he said there's no way they're snapping it, so he didn't predict it, and they ran the for, you know, and that's why he reacted, because he was so shocked. That was so raw and so good and so emotional that it actually is entertaining on top of what we just saw. So
yeah.
I thought it was a win for us yesterday.
I agreed completely. It was great television. Boom, we love talking to you throughout the year. Thanks for doing it through the playoffs. We'll talk next week.
All right, Danny. Have a great day. See you, bud.
Thank you. That's Boomer Esiason with us every Monday throughout the football season on The Score. Yeah, we got John McClain, who is like Mr. Professional Football in Houston. He's joining us at about 2 hours from now at 5:20. No one is more plugged in. He probably knows more about the Houston Texans than the McNair family. And he'll join us and he'll tell us everything that's going on with Deshaun Watson. But some people still have some questions about the John C. McGinley interview. We can follow up with that. And, yes, we have to go over the Andy Reid sequence, my Andy Reid appreciation. It was like that was just all me. A Chiefs win, a one bet, and Andy Reid praise in the vein of coming out through the vessel of Tony Romo. Oh, I love that. It's all next on The Score.
The Chiefs are going to host the AFC Championship game for the third consecutive year. That has never, ever, ever happened in the history of the AFC. And the Chiefs, we will monitor what will happen with Patrick Mahomes in the concussion protocol, but the Chiefs hold on to beat the Cleveland Browns and get a playoff victory in the divisional playoffs. They are moving on, beating the Browns 22-17.
Chiefs advance to the AFC Championship game, where they will host the Buffalo Bills. I fully expect Pat Mahomes to play. Packers, Rodgers, Brady, NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field. It was Boomer Esiason said it was a great point, and you know, I agree. But it was honestly just insane. And the fourth down play call, where he has Chet Henne do sprint right, is one thing. Listen, Chad Henne's been in the NFL a decade. You trust him. Okay, fine. You go for it. But you also put it in his hands to pass. That's another area of risk. And awesome. But before the two-minute warning, with like 2.5 minutes left, dropping back to pass on 2nd and 8, if he doesn't take a sack and throws an incompletion, you are giving the ball back to Cleveland up 5, assuming you don't convert the 3rd and long. With a significant amount of time left on the clock. So it wasn't just the aggressiveness on 4th down. It was the aggressiveness on 2nd down to throw the ball, take a sack. Now it's 3rd and 14. Henne makes the great play on the scramble, and he goes from there. So it was just an entire sequence of Andy Reid being aggressive and trusting his backup quarterback. Andy Reid trusts Chad Henne more than Matt Nagy trusts his starter. It's a tough situation, tough place to live. I feel like Tanny and Shane are doing a different show right now. What are you guys giggling about back there? What's going on? Fill me in.
Every once in a while, Dan Bernstein is just hysterical on Twitter. And every once in a while, I just agree with everything he says. And he's going in on some stupid pizza place in DeKalb right now.
They're not stupid.
It's some pizza place in DeKalb right now. The pizza looks good, but it's not pizza. And Dan is just being very funny on Twitter. I'm sorry. I'm trying to pay attention to the NFL talk and stuff that's going on here, but I'm distracted by Dan Bernstein's tweeting.
Okay, what is he doing? Want to fill
us
all in?
You kind of just had to be. I mean, just go and read it.
You had to be there?
Yeah. You had to follow Dan, which I don't think you do because you're not a good teammate.
Right.
Or else you would have seen it, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, sorry. I got a lot of screens going on here. I'm hosting a solo radio show, and I'm looking at my two... Yeah. I'm looking at my two producers here, and they are just giggling, and I'm like, I'm not saying anything funny. But they're not talking, so they're clearly looking at something else. And all right, Dan Bernstein tweeting about DeKalb Pizza.
I'm sorry.
Better than this current radio show.
No, it's not better. It's not that it's better. It's fine. Just, you know, sometimes you just need to take a step away.
No. Please. By all means, fill us all in. Now we've done it. But, Tanny, can we hear the Romo sequence, please? Of the Andy Reid aggression, because you heard it from Boomer. He's like, yeah, we're all laughing and he's giddy and all of that, but he's known for being right and predictive, and this time he was so wrong. And I agree. Like, you talk about, oh my God, he makes $1 million a game or whatever, and he doesn't. It's no broadcaster's worth it or moves the needle. Yeah, the Chiefs Browns game would not have had lower ratings if it was Buck and Aikman as opposed to Nance and Romo. He doesn't move the needle in terms of ratings, but in terms of the presentation of the product, having it feel fresh, and yes, having it resonate on social media, Romo absolutely was a part of that amazing story during the divisional round of the playoffs.
Here's Henne in trouble. Trying to run for it. Running. He's going to dive for it. And the mark is going to be close.
going to get it. That's what Patrick Mahomes does. Nobody runs more.
Quit yelling.
Long than Mahomes. He steals the same job that Patrick does, puts his head down knowing where the first down is, and sends Kansas City, I think, to the AFC Championship. The champs are still around, Jim.
Who said that Mahomes is the only one that can scramble? But let's see here. Hold on a minute. This will tell it right here. It's going to be short. Now what do you do?
He almost sent him to the AFC Championship.
Almost. I heard the almost.
Right here, Andy Reid, really smart. Send everybody out there. You got guts, right? You're trying to draw them off sides. Take a timeout. Take it down. Let the clock click. Try and draw them off sides.
Hey, hold on, they put Henny in the gun.
Walk up, pretend like you're going to go ahead and quarterback sneak it, motion them back, try and draw them off sides, and then take a timeout. You walk up there and say, no play, everybody. Don't jump. There's no play. Just look at the body language.
Brady! Oh, there is a play. Henny rolling out, throws it!
Impossible. I've never seen it. And Tyreek Hill, no one thinks you're snapping it. That's why you get up to the line quickly. And they always do the sprint right option, just throw it out to the flat. Tyreek Hill wins it. And then he does send them.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
Danny, is this when you tweeted enough or texted us enough already and you were so angry about Romo? Is that it?
Yes, and I like Tony Romo, but just maybe it's just like at that point in my day, I was just like, enough, please, just stop. Because
I've got work tomorrow.
I foresaw this moment here being on this radio show with you, and I was like, ugh. I really wish they would have thrown a pick six right there more than anything in the world.
It had all of the things that I love about football. Aggression, yeah. Andy Reid,
Chad
Tony
Henney.
Romo.
Yeah, Chad Henney, of course.
I love Chad Henney. Yeah. Always have.
Bad defense, not knowing that they ran that play earlier in the season in the same situation.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Good offense beats bad defense, buddy. That's what they always say. But no, it was great. And I will say, Romo getting it wrong added to the moment. And you watched all the top crews this weekend, and I think it's great. Like, Buck and Aikman is fine. I don't think Aikman's that great anymore, frankly. I think it's a lot of platitudes and, like, what the coaches told him in meetings and just kind of regurgitating that stuff. But Romo is by far the best analyst in the NFL.
Here we go, 3rd and 11, Jim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
They're mocking each other. Like, it's self-referential. It's beautiful. They're going to do it for the next decade plus. And then, I mean, I don't know how long Nance will work. He seems to want to work until he's in his 80s. But I think that Romo will do that for a long time. It's like when Jay Billis, during the NBA draft, like, started to get wind of the idea that everybody was, like, making fun of how often he said wingspan, and there was a Jay Billis drinking game, and he just came out on the opening of the draft, and he was like, wingspan, 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 wingspan. Okay, now the audience is wasted. And he just, like, was in on the bit, and he kept going, and it was likable and all of that stuff. Like, that's what Romo's doing. Romo is totally comfortable being himself. He's a complete dork. He gets $1 million a game. And I don't know if you guys read this. It was Andrew Marchand, like, week 15, week 16 or something like that, when Romo had when Nance was off for some obligation, he didn't want Romo to work with anybody else because Nance is protective of his relationship with Romo, and Nance has got a contract negotiation at CBS, and Nance didn't want them to see that, like, Ian Eagle could do a good broadcast with Tony Romo. Like, he wanted it to just be, no, Romo's my guy, we're the tandem, I don't want to get Wally pipped here, and he knows that Romo is the golden goose, and so he's keeping him attached to it. But I think he's an amazing analyst, I think he's great for the sport, and he'll be on the Super Bowl, and man, like, what's the worst case scenario for CBS? Bills? Bucks? Buffalo, and you still get Josh Allen and Bills Mafia and that rabid fan base, and
I mean, is there such thing?
Tom
I mean,
Brady.
It's a Super Bowl. Like, people are going to watch even that horrendous game, that Patriots-Rams game. People still watch. Like, I don't think – is there ever a situation where, like, oh, man, I hate the fact that we have the Super Bowl?
No, I mean, we're dealing in the margins here, clearly. Like, few million extra people, 110 million versus 106 million or something like that. But just in terms of the cachet of the matchup, like, what is – Rodgers, Mahomes?
Well, yeah, yeah, that's probably the best. I think any matchup that puts the Bills in the Super Bowl is bad for CBS because the general Salute football fan, relaxed football fan, doesn't know who anybody on the Bills is.
Yeah, but I don't
they
think that
might know Stephon Diggs, but that's it.
They're still going to watch the Super Bowl.
Everybody watches
any
the Super Bowl.
Any fringe person is, you think they're going to be like, I don't know much about this Bills passing game. You know, I'm not a fan of this. I'm going to watch something else today.
Well, yeah, I think that everybody watches the Super Bowl all the time, but it's just the,
well, just
the
when it's on, just when it's on. They can only watch it when it's on. They can't watch it all the time.
All the time, meaning every year, you jackass.
You know who would? You know who would watch the Super Bowl all the time?
Who's that?
Damn.
Of course.
He's just perpetually watching his Super Bowl and occasionally switches over to Super Bad.
Okay. It's a game with Roman numerals on it. Yeah, that is absolutely right. But it's just that we've gotten we have a great championship Sunday, awesome quarterback matchups. There's no bad result, but there's this extra little thing. It's like, oh, and Romo will be on the call. That makes it fun. Whether he's right or wrong, he'll be interesting and he'll be enthusiastic, and there's something about it that feels fresh. And listen, coming from the guy who's still considered young in this industry, like I know that like you.
Nope.
Hey, I'm young, Tanny.
Noah Eagle's young. You're not.
Dude, Noah.
He respond to your DM yet, by the way?
Noah Eagle is offensively young.
Old Danny's on Noah Eagle's pay no mind list, everyone.
It's so upsetting to see. I mean, I'm very competitive. And
talk
I'm
about
very
that Syracuse
happy.
Brotherhood. Yikes.
Dude.
I get anybody from Columbia College to reach out to me.
So do you think he's passed me by already in the Syracuse alumni power rankings? Play-by-play broadcaster for an NBA title contender and getting national praise for doing an NFL play-by-play game. I feel like Noah Eagle's already bigger than I am.
He did slum it, though, on NBA radio for a while. So
that's true.
You know.
That's true.
He paid his dues.
Yeah, with 3 months. He did NBA radio during the summer league. Probably got paid handsomely per shift. He's got Ian Eagle's dad. He's got his agent. Yeah, So he's passed me by. Why are we talking about this? I don't even know how
you
we
said
got
you were
it.
Young.
Oh, I am young. Youth is an asset.
Yeah, just but you're not Noah Eagle young, Danny.
That's how we got there. Thank you. Man, my short-term memory. Got to work on anything to change my lifestyle in that regard. But the point was, Romo might become old and stale or curmudgeon-y in like 10 years, but his shtick has not worn off on me at all. I still like oh, yeah, it's great. Alan, Chris, you know what it is. It's very good, high-quality production, but we've been seeing it for forever. Joe and Troy, it's fine. Big fan of Buck, not a huge fan of Aikman. Monday Night Football, they change it every damn year. Doesn't feel special. We've been over it. But Romo still feels fresh. So him being on the Super Bowl with no possibility of a bad matchup in terms of hype and storyline, I do think that adds a little something extra to the equation. Shane, people were asking on Twitch, by the way, how you got John C. McGinley. Why did he end up on the show today at 2:20?
Well, I just booked him. It's,
oh, okay, great.
To those out there, it's literally my job.
So what do you, awesome. You send an email or something?
Yeah, just emailed the PR. We can do a whole show on the background of booking guests on sports radio if you'd like. But this is an email to a woman who handles his PR. A response from her saying, yes, John would like to do that. And then I'll respond to her and I'll tell her, all right, this is the number he calls in on. She responds, says, thanks, I just sent to John.
Hang on. Just use the rewind feature on your radio.com app if you're missing any of this.
Right.
All right. Well, okay. Well, so we should, because Fichtner was incredible.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
You're welcome.
McGinley was incredible.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the next that guy grinder actor that we got to go to?
Well, it was funny because it's a guy who he said was on, in my opinion, the guy that was on the Office Space movie poster is Steven Root, who was another great that guy actor. So I was hoping maybe he'd talk about him a little bit, but I think that guy's been in everything. I'd love to hear from old Steven Root.
Okay, so Steven Root is a suggestion from Tanny. I like it. God, he has been in everything.
Hey, where did bounties go on these? Was that the other guy?
There's
going to be a stimulus bounty check for all these great guests that we've been getting. They'll be accumulated, and we'll get it after hopefully soon here. Is there like a bounty W-2 or something like that?
Are we going to wait till you sign your new deal?
Dude, TikTok. I think my deal actually expires today. I'm not even really sure.
I think it expired yesterday.
Did it really?
Yeah, I think you're working for free today.
Oh, man, I got to talk to my agent.
Seriously, I don't want to minimize the great work that I do. So it's not that easy. Like, I don't want to just say,
No Bob Odenkirk, but anyway.
So simple. Yeah, it was. Yeah, Tanny's got a history of doing this much better than I do so far. So I'm not going to minimize that. He got the old guy from, was it Lord of the Rings or something? What was his name? Clancy Jones?
Clancy Brown and Quincy Jones. We had each of them on the show.
That's right.
One of them I booked. I did not book Quincy Jones. But yeah, Stephen Sciarrippa.
Yeah, Steve Lombardozzi.
Dominic Lombardozzi, who was amazing on Twitter because he was going in on, the Ravens fans. They wanted him to be all for the Ravens because of Baltimore and The Wire. And he's a Bills guy. So we put that in our back pocket for hopefully Super Bowl. We have two Bills fan celebrities on the show.
Yeah, I already got a hold of Fickner's people trying to bring him back for more Bills talk. Yeah, I told you I've been pretty vocal about it. I don't really like sports that much, so I don't plan on bringing many sports opinions, aspects, and bookings to the show. So we'll keep doing this kind of stuff.
That's fine. I was such a huge fan of the McGinley interview, and so just to find out it was done by this new technology called email is very... very exciting. So we will continue bringing those types of things to you. Steven Root has been suggested. Text us, Twitch us, let us know what that guy actors would you like to come on just to tell stories. We don't even like them when they come on to promote. Just we want them to come on and tell stories. But coming up, I have some Tom Brady stats. Each one more ridiculous than the next. We'll pick which one's the most absurd next on the score.
Did you know that the Bears were in the final list of teams for Tom Brady?
I did not know that, Dan Patrick, until you told me.
We're watching Babe Ruth. You being Babe Ruth.
Yeah, it would be cool to have Babe Ruth on the Bears in the form of Tom Brady being Babe Ruth. But it was so weird because the end of that game, it's 20-20, and Brady throws a ball easily could have been intercepted by Marcus Lattimore on the diving play. Well, not easily. I mean, it would have been a tough catch. But when Brady goes, oh, my God, dumb throw. And then they kick the field goal, go up 23-20. And then Breeze throws the horrible interception, and all of a sudden it's 30-20. But, I mean, that was that razor-thin margin. If Lattimore catches the Brady interception, we're talking about Brady blowing it and the Saints probably winning. He drops it. They get the field goal. Then Breeze throws the interception, and it's, man, Brady keeps winning, and Breeze is on his way out. Like, that's just how it works in single elimination football, where turnover differential is the ultimate deciding factor. But I was looking up some of this stuff with Tom Brady, and he will be playing in his 14th conference championship game. So if I start there, for absurd Tom Brady facts in the playoffs. Can I beat it? I think I can. And these are a few that I came up with or that I saw. Some of them I came up with. One of those I saw on Twitter. Tom Brady has the same number of playoff wins over NFC teams as Drew Brees. Doesn't that strike you guys as ridiculous? Drew Brees, a first-ballot Hall of Famer, multiple 5,000-yard passing seasons, and a Super Bowl, plays his entire career in terms of going to the playoffs in the NFC.
Now, they are calling him Breezus.
That's right. Breezus. He's got 8 playoff wins over NFC teams. Tom Brady has 8 playoff wins over NFC teams when you factor in the 6 Super Bowls and then the 2 that he's already won with Tampa Bay. That's insane. And then there's this. Tom Brady is 32-11 in the playoffs. the Bears, since they've been the Chicago Bears, 17 playoff wins. Tom Brady has more playoff wins than 27 teams in the NFL. Shane Reardon, you're a big sports guy.
Yeah.
You want to guess the five teams that have more playoff wins than Tom Brady?
The Cowboys.
That would be one.
Giants.
That is not the other.
Ooh, I don't like
the that. Packers.
That would be two. This is good radio.
Just say what they are. Just say what they
hold
are.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Okay. Are you Googling?
Hold on. Shh. Giants?
Yeah, almost. Yeah, no, it was not the Giants.
Jets?
Definitely not the Jets.
No. Chiefs?
Are you just starting from the coast?
Oh, but seriously, the Steelers and the Ravens being the other two?
Not the Ravens, but the Steelers. Yeah.
I got Patriots. 3 of 5. Patriots.
Yep. So the Patriots, because he won a bunch of them, and then they had wins beforehand.
Oh, that's
so
bogus. That's a trick question.
Wow. Patriots.
Nice job, Danny.
Idiot.
And then San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco. And then San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco fan, I hope so.
Obviously.
It's so inside.
Who cares?
As long as you guys are making each other laugh and nobody else gets it, I'm sure that'll take us to the top.
For us to smile and laugh so you can be happy.
Yeah, dude, it's a Monday. Chill out.
I'm happy. Am I not happy?
How's your ring light?
My ring light is balancing on the back of my laptop.
I feel so bad that we were in break when you dropped the ring light and then you got up so quickly to catch the ring light, your chair knocked your backdrop down.
Right before old Bill McGinley came on, your backdrop is in disarray behind
Who's
you.
Who's Bill McGinley?
William C. McGinley, right?
John.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
John.
My guy.
William C. McGinley.
Bill Fichtner.
Yes. So they're all,
Jesus Christ.
Oh, well.
Can't keep track.
That's what we call him. Me and Chelly.
William C. McGinley.
Chelly and I call him that.
Chelly. Yeah. You and Cusack and Chelly. Okay. By the way, yeah, people ask going a little high when aiming for the people that we should get on for the that guy actors to just tell stories.
I love this so much.
So, Danny, you want to share then the one who someone came in on?
Yeah, as far as that guy actors, you know, guys that have been in everything and you don't really know their name and can't remember a specific role, but you just know they've been in a lot of stuff. A texter chiming in with Joe Pesci. Yeah.
The guy right above him, Ray Liotta.
Yeah, that guy, Oscar Award winner for Goodfellas, Joe Pesci.
Hey, go get the guy who retired from movies 10 years ago but only came out to do The Irishman for Scorsese and is in, what, late 70s? Go get that guy actor, Joe Pesci. No, we're going to aim a little lower than Joe Pesci, but Fichtner, McGinley, think of guys like that. Steven Root, good example. Someone on Twitch said Michael Shannon. I'd say Michael Shannon's a little bit more than a that guy actor, but he'd be incredible.
And a Chicago guy.
That's right.
Somebody suggested Walton Goggins, who actually is repped by the same woman that reps John C. McGinley, so that might be doable.
Oh, well, that's a good way to reverse engineer this.
He's a great that guy actor.
Oh, man, we could talk Oz with him. I like that idea. Walton Goggins. And that's a good, Shane, that's good too, because, right, you make the contact with that person and you see who else they rep.
Yeah, see, you know what?
Send another email.
Bare minimum.
Another email. That's perfect.
It's amazing how hard this stuff is.
It's very, very, very complicated. I will make a prediction, which I'm sure many Bears fans will root for me to be wrong on one of the biggest stories in the NFL right now. That's coming up next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.